Well, peace be with you. Those of you who don't know me, my name's Jonathan, one of the pastoral team here at Seeds. I come before you this morning with some words that I altered over the weekend in light of things that have taken place for us since Friday as a community. But it's no matter what stage we're at in life, no matter where we are at, no matter who we are, Jesus comes to bring us life and life in abundance. And that's his great promise to us. But the reality of life is that we have anything but abundance. And most of us struggle as we try and walk this road which we call life. Many times and in so many different ways, we encounter things that are beyond us. Things that threaten to overwhelm us, to take us in their grip, to take us in, use us up, chew us around a little bit, and then spit us out. And whether that's with a relational aspect, it's a work thing, a financial thing, whether it's with issues of what the future holds for us or what our most significant others are doing or what they're up to, all of us at some stage have more to deal with than we have resources to bring to bear. And it might be today that your job at this moment, halfway through this year, is at a real grind. It might be that at this moment you're feeling worn and weary, and I imagine all those teachers who have just finished term two are feeling that way in particular. It might be that life is just particularly difficult for you, that you are feeling worn out and you're carrying a heavy burden. All of us, at some stage or another in our life, feel like that. And all of us know the result of what that looks like in our life and how we go with it. Weariness catches up with us all. And I'm not just talking about a weariness that, you know, you have 3 or 4 days off or a long weekend off and you can get over it, but a deep-seated weariness that's at the core of your being going, I haven't got enough to cope with what's coming and what I'm trying to dominate and what's dominating me. This weekend, of course, since Friday's news, has been an interesting one for us in Adelaide. And today, of all days, we need to know Jesus' care of us. We need to know his concern for us. We need to experience some of his love coming into our being as we come to terms with our own mortality and with stuff we never thought we would hear about. We're reminded just how tenuous life is. You know, not all is well with the world. The world is not as it should be. It's not right. And how we deal with it and how it affects us has a large bearing on how we go. I don't know about you, but I was watching the news during the weekend. I actually find it quite a depressant to sit there and hear. It's like we revel in bad news, isn't it? And it just keeps coming to us and keeps rolling over us. So the question for today is, the question that I want to address with you just for a few minutes, and I want to make a lot of space for the baptisms and for communion. So I'm not going to speak very long today. I'll make up the week after. The question is, where do we go when we feel drained? Where do we go when we are burdened? Where do we go when it's like we're on our knees and we're buckling under the weight that's on our shoulders and we don't know where the help is? Where do we go with that? Where do we go to find the sustenance to live the abundant life that Jesus promises? Let me say a prayer. Lord, we come before you with burdens on our hearts, with issues that we only need a moment's silence to remember. We come asking for your light to break into the darkness of those struggles and to help us see a new reality. Speak to us in this moment. Speak to us through my words. Lord, may they be your words. Speak to us through the sacrament of washing in the water. Speak to us through the sacrament of being part of union with you. Help us to see beyond ourselves and to see you clearly. In your name we ask. Amen. If you have your Bibles, could you turn with me to Matthew 11 and verses 28 to 30, just two verses this morning. But I encourage you during the week, if you have a few moments to reread them, but if you're really creative, to write them out and stick them on the fridge. Because there's nothing like reading them every time you go to the fridge, and you will just imbibe them a lot more than if you just read them once off or you hear them this morning. Jesus has just finished a statement on his connection with the Father, and a little bit complicated, but basically what he's saying is that the Father and I, God and I, are like this. We are connected together. We are intimately together. We are with a connection that you don't quite understand yet, he's saying to his listeners. We are one, surrounding each other. We are on a deep connection. And then Jesus launches into a well-known phrase. You know it well, but we know it well here, but it needs to come well here so that we can impart it into our daily life. He says, verse 28 of Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Fascinating. If you sit with that passage just for a couple of minutes, Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me." I know the Father, he says. He's just told us the Father and I are one. We're connected, you know, really close together. Come to me. Because I know God like no one else. I know God intimately on a one-to-one basis. And if you want to know God too, then I will show you what he's like. So come to me and I will show you. I will show you what's going on in the world. I will show you how things really are, what the true order of the world is. Not a makeup, not my best guess, not a judgment call that I've done after analyzing the data and statistics, and maybe I'm sort of a professional. No, come to me because I know who God is. And I will lead you into the place where you should be. This is not a shallow salesman pitch in order to get your hard-earned dollars. This is not buy one and you get other one free. This is the real deal. This comes with a significant guarantee. This is the ultimate authority saying, "Come to me." I heard a story once of a time in American history. The nation was at war, and there was a mother who had a son who was involved in the conflict, and she had a problem. I can't exactly remember what the problem was, but she had a significant problem, and she couldn't get any satisfaction in approaching all the various chain of command people. And so she went, "Blow this, I'll go straight to the president." And so she made her journey to the White House and went to the president. But of course, she didn't get an audience with the president. How could she? And she tried for weeks and weeks to get an audience with the president. And of course, the president's aides were very good and stopped any interference in the president's life. And after some weeks of trying, she was weary and heartbroken. And worn down because of the burden that was inside of her and her inability to get resolution and satisfaction for this problem. So she sits at the gates of the White House crying. And she's sitting there sobbing her heart out. A young man comes up alongside of her and notices what's going on and says, "What's the problem?" And she tells him the problem. And she said, "I just want to see the president because he can help me with my problem." The young man says, "Come with me," and he walks through the White House gates. No guard stops them. Onto the grounds of the White House, no CIA descending upon them. He walks into the White House. He walks into the Oval Office in front of the president, where he is with all his aides, and he stands in front of the office and he says, "Dad, this lady has a problem. You need to help her with it." You see, when you connect yourself to Jesus, you get entrance right into the throne room. No intermediary, nobody seeing the guards at the gate and saying, you can't come in. Straight in front of the king. Dad, this person has a problem. You need to hear about it. There's more though when Jesus says, come to me. It's really significant. He didn't say, you know, go to a disciple, make a time in my diary. Sorry if I say that to you. He didn't say, like, you know, go to your GP and get a mental health plan so you can see a psychologist. I didn't say anything like that. He says, come to me. I can fit you into my schedule. I, the Savior of the world, the one who knows the Father of the universe intimately, I want you to come to me. In other words, you know what he's saying? He's saying, I am interested in you. In you. I am interested in you. I am interested in the burdens you carry, in the struggles you have, in the issues that are going on for you. And we need to sit with that for a little while, don't we? Come to me. Just three little words mean so much. Entrance into the Father, into the throne room from the King, but also the personal attention of Jesus. Come to me. When you're going through troubled times, when you're having struggles, issues, hardships, don't go to your best friend. Don't go to your pastor. Don't go to your counsellor. Don't go to your usual lines of advice. Don't go to Oprah. Don't go to Dr. Phil if you can figure out how to get hold of a Dr. Phil. Come to Jesus. You know, for a Christian, it's not so much a suggestion as an instruction. Come to me. How often do we go to Jesus last of all when it should be first of all? Why should we though? Why should we go to Jesus? Why should we bring our burdens before him? Have a look with me at verse 29, verse 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, if you come to me, you will find rest for your souls. But how do we do that? How do we find rest for our souls? What does that look like for us as we bring these things that are burdening us down? How do we find that rest to throw them off? Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Then again in verse 30, he mentions that word again. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke imagery here is very significant for us. It's far deeper than what I've got time to point out to you today. But if you didn't know, yokes were designed to be for a beast of burden, an oxen, and two were put together. And I'm sure the carpenter Jesus had made many a yoke for oxen to pull a load. And together, they could pull a very large load. But then the imagery started to be changed from just a something of burden, something that enabled two to be saddled together and to pull a load, but it can be used for the imposition of the Jewish law. The Jewish law, which was the religious way in which how you lived under the covenant of God's instruction, how you lived as God's people. But it had become used as a yoke because the terminology become sort of hacked because the burden of the Jewish law had been added to and added to and added to, and so it became overbearing. And so a yoke meant like, ooh, like this. Jesus is recasting it. You see, what he's saying in the come to me is saying, come to me as the partner in the yoke. I will be with you alongside of you in the yoke. How many of you remember as a kid trying to do something that you couldn't do? Trying to do something heavy, trying to push a wheelbarrow load of wood and you couldn't do it. Trying to carry a bucket of water or a bucket of something and you couldn't do it. Trying to reach something and you couldn't do it. Or trying to put something up on the top shelf and you couldn't do it. And your dad comes along or your mum comes along and goes, I'll help you. I'll help you. Let me push that barrow with you. And you know, my dad used to put me in the barrow and then push the barrow. Wasn't that great? That's what Jesus is saying with his yoke. He's saying, the burden, I see the burden. Like a father sees a child. I see you struggling under that burden. and I come in and I put myself in that yoke as well, and I'll carry it with you and I'll be with you. Too often we try and walk the road ourselves, and we do so under the strength, our own strength that we can muster. Too often we do that. But Jesus says, don't do that. Come to me. Don't bear the grief alone. Don't bear the financial issues alone. Don't struggle alone. Don't bear the pain alone, the pain that's inside you, the pain in your body. Don't bear that alone. Share it with me. You know, that is one of the reasons why we offer prayer on a Sunday morning after the service. Because we say, don't carry it alone. Let's take it to Jesus. Let's take it before the cross. Let's ask him to carry it with you. Let him join in with you. That's why we do corporate worship. Because it says, you're not alone in this. There's something bigger going on, something greater going on. That's why we encourage you to get into home groups, to get together and to meet together around God's word, because we remind ourselves and we say, why are you carrying this alone? Why aren't you sharing this with Jesus? Why don't you let him carry some of your burdens as well? So here's the rub for us. I've got 2 pages to go. Here's the rub. In many ways, the Western society, we are shielded from much of what happens in life, the harsh reality of life. And when we experience it, it really bites, doesn't it? And we go into major meltdown and deep grief. We're too quick to be self-reliant. Other cultures that are far more hand-to-mouth have this well and truly worked out. They know that without Jesus in their life, they are just done for. They cannot cope. They know that they have to have him as part of who they are. They rely on him to be their partner in the yoke, to carry the load. It's a lesson we need to learn. My friends, we have a great blessing. We have the opportunity, I don't know what the right word is, to cast our cares to Jesus and to say, will you help us? And while many of us struggle alone, we don't ever let Jesus be part of what's going on for us. And so we remain self-reliant and we miss out on abundant life where Jesus partners with us. Maybe it is we're too self-reliant. Maybe we're too scared of what he's going to ask for us. Maybe we have real fears that connecting with him will lead us into places we don't want to go. But the truth of life is this, that without him we cannot stand. Without him we are at the mercy of every foul wind that blows across this landscape and threatens to overwhelm us. But with him, connected to Jesus, and we go where he leads, as together we are there, we begin to see the world through his eyes, and we begin to live as he intends. He carries our burdens. And for this day and this age, that's a unique thing. Let us say a prayer. Lord, we praise you. We praise you for your voice in our life. We thank you that you care for us beyond our wildest imaginations. We praise you for your love, which comes to us new every day. And we ask, Lord, humbly, that we can understand how to cast our cares upon you, how that you can take away our burdens, how can you make our load light. We trust in you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.